welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you in the love and grace and strength and anointing and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that you join me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled Free Indeed. And we're talking about the subject of guilt and condemnation, which is a very great reality in all of our lives, because we were all guilty before we came to Christ. We were sinners. And once we've come to the Lord, we have been cleansed and washed from our sins. And if we sin after we've come to the Lord, John tells us if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for that. But we're looking at the root causes of those guilt feelings that sometimes attack us as Christians. We want to really understand what's the source of them. Well, as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking that the world is a source of guilt and condemnation. And in some cases, they're justified in what they're saying, because sometimes Christians, in terms of scandals that have gone out in over the decades, the unrighteousness and the actual sin that has been found out and it was made public. I'm thinking now to things in the late 80s that affected media ministries so greatly. Christians were just shaken in their faith and in their trust. And I know, being a media ministry, even though we had a local church, there people were just traumatized, and that was reflected in finances that would come in. And so, beloved, the world has had justification for pointing a finger, because you know what? We still sin. The church is not made up of perfect people. We are all in the process of sanctification, but we're pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we looked at the world. They charge that we're full of hypocrites, and in some cases, there are those who do feel justified, that they are totally righteous, and yet their character, their attitudes, they're not Christ-like in their actions. They don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Let me just share with you, before I really get into the message, this is a little detour, but what Jesus had to say about this attitude of some, those who proclaim to love and serve God. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. You see, he began to list off all the righteous acts that he was doing before God. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes that I all possess. What a fine, upstanding religious example. Isn't that right? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up his so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, rather than the Pharisee. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, there are those who feel they, you know, do all the right things. They attend church. They even go maybe to the midweek service or to the prayer meeting or whatever. They tithe. They give offerings. They do all these wonderful things, and they justify themselves. They pat themselves on the back and feel that they are an exemplary Christian. Now, and what they are doing, of course, is very good, but I'm talking about the attitude of the heart. This Pharisee had spiritual pride. He had contempt for, like that publican, he had contempt for those who didn't follow his way of serving God. You know, I've known some people, and they've walked with God. They're wonderful Christians. They love God, but they would say, well, praise God, we have never smoked, we've never drank, we never had a drink in our lives. And the way they say it, it just causes something to cringe in me, because they're so proud of themselves that that never occurred. Well, beloved, not everyone can say that. There are those, thank God, that have been brought up in the church, and they've lived godly lives. Are they perfect? No. They still have to deal with sin and the carnal nature? Of course. But we cannot take credit for anything spiritual that may be evidenced in our lives. I mean, in my own life, I was raised very strictly, a lot of discipline, not only in my home life, but in the school I attended. I was in a nominal church. And when I got in my teens, my late teens, after I graduated from high school, after my first year in college, I just said, that's it. I'll never be in a church again. I just, again, felt nothing but there were hypocrites out there. And at the age of 19, I got on a Greyhound bus, came out to California. In fact, I turned down a full scholarship for the rest of my college education because I wanted to be at a real university. So I applied to the University of California in Berkeley. I was accepted, was able to go through in terms of grants and student loans. And that was, if you remember, those who are old enough to remember what the 60s were in Berkeley. I mean, it was the counterculture, the free speech movement, the hippie movement, psychedelic drugs, Timothy Leary, the whole nine yards. And as I'm fond of saying, sometimes those barefoot hippies that walked the streets of Telegraph in the mid-60s got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I is one. Praise God. It 10 years. But the point is, regardless of our background, regardless of the things that we have been involved in, regardless of the sins that we commit, even as a Christian, we can know that we're fully forgiven. But I'm sharing all this so that we'd never get to the place of being spiritually complacent. What did Jesus say? If you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. He that thinks that he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. So the church, in many respects, can point a finger with accuracy that there are a lot. There are hypocrites in the church, but there are also those who the Spirit of God is dealing with, and they are allowing the Spirit of God to deal with them, that we can walk in the true righteousness of God, that we can have the fruit of the Spirit, that we can do those good works, we can be fruitful in good works that God has called us to from before the foundation of the world. Well, I know I've gone down a bunny trail, but let's go back into the sources or root causes of where does guilt come from. We've looked at the world, and then also our conscience, or our flesh, if you will. Now, the conscience, if it is not seared, can be a guide to bring us back, to convict us if we have done things wrong. And even fallen man who's not saved has a conscience. Only if they are hardening their hearts and they persist in the way of wickedness and evil and iniquity, that conscience over time gets seared. They turn away. They turn aside the wooing of the Spirit of God through whatever sources, through witness of Christians, through the natural world. Man was without excuse, Paul said in the early chapters of Romans. So, in a sense, our conscience has been called, if you would, a false alarm. It's supposed to go off and warn us when we're wrong. And even in fallen man, that can operate. Consciences are notoriously unreliable, however, as I've mentioned. They can become seared, as the scriptures talk about. And there are also influences by sources other than God. We can be influenced by our society, by our peers, and, well, you know what, everybody's doing, it's all right, don't be uptight, don't be legalistic. And so we just kind of silence, you know, and we just kind of go along. But what does Romans 12 and 2 say? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And now let's move along. What's another area that we can receive guilt and condemnation? And that's one you're probably very familiar with, and that is the devil. Satan means adversary. Devil literally means one who throws things against you. He charges us as guilty when we fall short of God's holiness. And in fact, that is true. We are in the process of our soul is being healed and restored. He is the good shepherd who restores our soul. Isn't that true? Psalm 23. And of course, our bodies, that's the last thing that's going to experience the salvation of God. When Jesus returns, when that last trump sounds, we who are alive and remain, or those who have gone on to be with the Lord, will receive a glorified body like His glorious body, which will never know death. We will be an immortal, glorified being. We'll have a body. We don't know exactly what it'll be like, but we know that Jesus could walk through walls. He could eat. He says, touch me, see. You know, I'm not a spirit. I have flesh and, flesh and bones, just like you. In fact, he encouraged Thomas, who couldn't believe it, who was doubting, who wasn't there when the Lord first appeared. He says, come on, Thomas, put your hands on my side. Look at my wounds and be not faithless, but believing. And he said, my Lord and my God. And so we have to understand that the devil charges us guilty when we fall short of God's holiness. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12, 10 says, who accuses them before our God day and night, he always seeks to condemn. Well, beloved, my time has flown, and I'm trying to develop in you an understanding of what goes on when you do experience those guilt feelings. And sometimes they can just creep up on you unawares, and you have to be able to identify what's going on and where they are coming from. So tomorrow we're going to start talking about guilt versus guilt feelings. When there's two different things operating, there's times when there actual is guilt, and there's times we just feel guilty and we are not. So I hope you can join me at the same time tomorrow. If not, you can always listen at the website. I love you. I invite you to share your prayer requests. If you're struggling in this area, there's power in agreeing prayer. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. Pray for you every day. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.